a shout of praise. There is a light and glory, Jesus the King of glory. There is a light and glory, Jesus the King of glory.
Yes! Woo. Yes, Lord. And we know that whatever it is, God is more than able. Amen? Can you say, God is enough? God is enough. Yes, He is more than able. Anything is possible. And there's a song we introduced last week that we're going to do again today, talking about just that, whatever it is. Lord, our prayer is that You would just help us return to that childlike faith and that imagination to know and believe and trust that in You all things are possible, even if they look like those mountains that are shaking or whatever it is. You are able, God. You make things possible. Relationships, business deals, health, finances, whatever it is we need, He is able. He is able. Amen.
When did I start to forget all of the great things You did? And when did I throw away faith for the impossible? How did I start to believe that You weren't sufficient for me? Why do I talk myself out of seeing miracles?
Sing it with us.
You are more than able. You are more than able. You are more than able.
Yes, Lord, Your healing.
He's gonna move. Yeah, he's gonna move. I've seen how you work, and there's so much goodness and grace, oh, much more than I deserve, 'cause I know who I am. I can't stay where I'm at. We've come this far by faith, and I just can't turn back. He's not done with me yet.
Come on, declare it this morning.
He's not done with me yet.
There's still air in our lungs, church.
There's so much more to the story. You're not done with me yet. You're not done with me.
The heavens are on.
give him praise this morning. Come on, let's give him praise this morning. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. We are thankful and grateful, oh God. What a powerful name. What a God who is able, more than able. In this season right now, God, we lift our eyes to you and our hearts to you and our hands to you. And in this moment, not for anything that we want, but just to bring you praise and glory and honor. We thank you, God. You're a big God and you're worthy and deserving of all the praise and attention that we can afford you and give you. We love you, Lord. Thank you for this time of worship. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Prepare our hearts for your word. Prepare our hearts for your mission. Prepare our hearts for us to partner with you as a body, as a church, as a community, that we would partner and join you in what you're doing. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. We praise you. We bring you glory and honor in your name. Amen. 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 Yeah, give him a hand clap of praise this morning. Another one. He is worthy of it. Say hello to somebody around you as you take your seat. Also, our ushers are going to come forward as we prepare for our giving, our tithes, and our offerings as part of our worship. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, everyone who gives and has been obedient to God to give and to what God is doing in our community. It's because of your giving that we're able to have this building, that we're able to do ministry in the community, that we're able to do what we do to help people, inspire people to believe and live as if the gospel really does change everything. So thank you for that. And just know as you give into give to Christian Fellowship Church, it's going towards that mission to help and inspire people to connect with Jesus in ways that changes their lives. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time of offering, this time of giving, Father. We give back to you out of what you've given to us. We give out of obedience. We give cheerfully. We love you, not under pressure or duress, but because we appreciate you, Father. Thank you so very, very much. Amen and amen. Well, welcome to Christian Fellowship Church this morning. Glad you're here. What beautiful weather, right? Nice out there. Some of y'all are enjoying it in the deer blind right now, watching online. I guess that's okay. We'll let you pass. Anyway, it's good to have you here. If you're a guest with us, thank you for checking us out. If you want us to know you're here as a guest, we like to send you a note of thanks and kind of let you know kind of what next steps are if you want to get involved at Christian Fellowship Church, what we're about and who we are. And so the way that you do that is through our new here card that's in your seat back, or digitally you can scan that code or click the link online and fill that out, and we'd love to just kind of get to know you. We hope you can stick around long enough to where each of us pastors get some time to know your name and get to know your family. We'd love to know who you are, and thank you for coming. We appreciate you being here. We do have a few announcements, and so we're going to turn to the announcement screen, the video screen, for those announcements.
What's up, Sea of Paris? We are so excited that you're here with us today. First off, we are at the Veterans Memorial. We want to send a huge thank you to all of our vets out there. Thank you for all that you gave for our country and everything that you've done for us. Second, we have food pantry coming up this week. It's Tuesday at 6 in the evening. Please sign up to go to that and join us as we help serve our community and feed some of the people that are needy. Third, we have had a million people ask us for t-shirts. We've been waiting for a long time for this, and we finally are there. We have CF shirts, and there's several ways that you can get to them. You can go to our app, you can go on the website, or you can go to Screen Graphics and find the shirt link there. Once you're there, there are several options you can go. We've got hoodies, we've got shirts, we've got long sleeve, we've got all kinds of things you can get there with the same image on it. So please, 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 please go get your shirt right now. You've got less than 2 weeks to get your order in. So go right now and put your order in.
All right, guys, I know this seems crazy and like you're not even thinking about it, but I got some summer save the dates for you because we want to make sure you guys can plan your summer vacations accordingly. So this year, guys, our VBX is going to be the second week of June. It's a Sunday through Thursday again. It starts on June 9th, second week. Let me just say that Claudia and Brandon are going to be exhausted, so we probably should give them the whole month of July off. But we're going to go from VBX week 2 of June to middle school camp week 3, and then high school camp is week 4 of June. We're going to go 1, 2, 3 in a row, and then y'all, we can just enjoy the rest of the summer together. So we don't have VBX signups going live yet, but we do have camp signups. You've got to get signed up to reserve your spot. I believe it's $65 to reserve your spot. So please get signed up today. You will not miss it. Middle school and high school. Guys, I think that's all we've got. We have a super special video we'd like to for you guys to watch now.
The American flag. These are around us all day, every day. They adorn our municipal buildings, our banks, our car dealerships, our front porches. If you're anything like me, you rarely notice just how often you see them. They fade into white noise, except for those few days a year when we, as a nation, gather in celebration of what they symbolize. Or maybe you're in the other camp. The ones that wear their love of what the flag stands for on their sleeves. The ones that bleed red, white, and blue. That have learned firsthand the cost of flying that flag. Today, we salute you.
If you're a veteran, would you remain standing, please? Y'all can go ahead and be seated, but if you will, as a church, as a body, and if whoever was closest to you, if you wouldn't mind just extending a hand in agreement, just saying, I'm praying for you right now. I'm just going to pray a blessing upon each and every one of those. Lord God, we thank you so much. We thank you so much, Lord God, for men and women who have bled, who have died, who have given up of their time and given up of their lives for us to be able to experience and enjoy the freedoms that we celebrate today. Father, we are one nation. We are a nation of one. One God, one people. Lord God, I pray today, especially, Lord God, that your hand would be upon each and every individual that has sacrificed so much so that we can enjoy so much. Lord God, thank you for them. I pray your peace and your blessing upon their lives. It's in the name of your Son we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, y'all give them another round of applause. Oh, man, what a joyous, joyous day. Jimbo, man, I still vividly remember sitting around the coffee table with my papaw, who flew a B-24 bomber in World War II, shot down running tank runs, was taken POW, survived the whole thing, and loved a lemon drop. would keep a stack on the table, and hated cats would keep a slingshot at the front door. Oh, I loved that man. Yeah. I want to encourage everybody to make sure y'all come back next week. Next week, I'm going to be wrapping up my Giving Thankfully series, and specifically dealing with, I think, what is probably the most prevalent question I get when it comes to people when they hear the word tithe. And that is, Corey, where? What's your opinion on? Like, how do I, doing this and doing that? And listen, I'm going to discuss next week, so you got to come back. Next week, three different specific ways that we give. And how each and every one are vitally important. All of them. From the giving that's spontaneous to the giving that's very specific. From the giving that's random to the giving that's very thought out. As well as all of it being giving that's sacrificial. Come back next week, you're going to enjoy it. But today, because I know y'all enjoy the topic of tithing and giving. Look at, there we go, there's two laughs already. Let me start off with this. How many of you love stuff? Not a trick question. Be honest this morning. How many of you love stuff? I love stuff. I love stuff so much that even though I don't have the money to buy stuff, I make lists of the stuff that I want to buy so that way when I do have money, I can buy stuff. We all love stuff, and we laugh about it. It's kind of comical. But stay with me, because I want to correlate it back to your beginning. Back to your beginning, and some of you today know this very, very, very well because you deal with it daily. How many of you currently have infants in the home? A few of you? Every one of you at one point in time was one. And one of the very first things that happens with every infant, you take them over to a play date with their favorite play date person. That person brings a toy that everybody knows they brought as theirs. And your angel of a child grabs that toy, white knuckle just gripping down on it, and says those ever-loving words. Oh, y'all know. Like the head starts spinning almost. You're like, who is this child? Mine! Yeah. Now, are you ready for this?
Sure.
Whoo. Look, the very first glimpse, for most of us, the very first glimpse at sin is the sin of selfishness. God knows that the very number one thing competing for your heart is money and with it, stuff. God knows. Welcome back to week two of our Giving Thankfully series. I want to start off very purposefully by saying I'm commending you. This is a generous church. You guys, you as the church are a generous people. I thank God for the privilege of being able to minister here to you. And listen, wholeheartedly, I say this because I think it's very easy when I, especially when somebody like myself, brings up the topic of money, people often ask, why? And the immediate go-tos are, well, one, must be needing money for a project. No, we don't. I mean, we always do. Yeah, I mean, I can't say no, technically. But no, that's not why we're preaching it. The other question that will often come up is, well, giving must be down. No. Well, kind of, still, yes. But also, no, not the reason. Look, Corey, why are we talking about money? Why are we talking about stuff? Because God knows that the biggest thing competing for your heart is money and stuff. So much so that throughout Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, God talks about money and possessions 2,300 times, roughly. The Bible, God's word to you, he thought it so important to mention money and stuff, he mentioned it 2,300 times. So maybe we should pay attention to God's heart concerning our stuff. And listen, I need to reiterate some statements that I made last week, just as some clarifications leading out. I unabashedly said that the tithe is 10% of your income, but I'm going to take that further and say it's not just 10% of your income. The tithe is the first 10% of your income. God has to be first, because when God is first, then everything else, life falls into order. That being said, I also reiterate the words of Paul, who Brandon so eloquently prayed. You must decide in your heart how much to give. Don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure. So again, I'm going to tell you what Scripture teaches us in regards to the tithe, but then it's between you and God from there. But Paul did finish that saying, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Giving thankfully. Last week I talked about two cycles, the cycle of abundance, but then also the cycle of scarcity. And it all begins, every bit of it begins, and what we must recognize is that it begins as God supplies. God is the source of all. What happens next is then a mindset that you and I step in and contribute. We are the fountain of his supply. God supplies, but then the scarcity cycle says we begin to consume immediately what it is that God has supplied in our life. After a while, we start to lack. And when we've been consuming, that's just what happens. You begin to lack. And after we've been lacking, it brings each and every one of us to a place of fear and of anxiety. We start to worry. And then the crazy thing is, because we worry, what do we then do? We consume more, lack more, fear, anxiety even more. Ba-da-boom. The cycle ends up going on and on and on. Today, what I want to do is I want to take this idea just a little bit deeper. Because what we've got to understand up front is that scarcity starts in the mind, not in the wallet. That's right. Scarcity starts in the mind, not in the wallet. Today, what I want to do is we're going to be looking in Mark at the story where Jesus fed 5,000 people. But that's just it. It wasn't. And that's what I want to clarify to kind of bring some clarity to what's going on in this miracle. In these particular times in the Jewish day, what they would do is they would count only the men. Basically, it was a way to count family heads and thus get the families that were counted. And so when they would count 5,000, that was just the family men. So not included in that number then is as well any of the teenagers, the children, none of the women. So we get to a number of 5,000, understanding that this miracle, there is a crowd not only being taught by Jesus, but about to be fed by Jesus, of somewhere closer to 15,000 to 20,000 people. I don't know if you grasp what 15,000 to 20,000 people looks like. It's insane. Like, I started just Googling photos. The best idea that I could come up with is, if any of you have been to watch a Dallas Mavericks game, That stadium holds roughly 15,000 to 20,000 people. It's a lot. 15,000 to 20,000 people. That's the audience. That's how many people are tagging along. I want to pick up in Mark chapter 6 in verse 34. It says this: when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time, it was very late in the day, so the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy." Everybody say buy.
Buy.
One more time, everybody, buy. Send them away so they can buy themselves something to eat. Take notice, the disciples are focused on what it is they have. So that they can buy themselves something to eat. And now notice how Jesus responds. Continuing on, it says, Jesus answers them and said, "You give them something to eat." Everyone say give. You see, the disciples are preoccupied with what they're going to have to spend. Jesus never said a word about buying anything. He simply said, "You give."
Okay.
You give. During the prayer, one of the things that Brandon mentioned, and there's such a beauty in, is the idea of the lifting of hands in praise and in worship and adoration. It's a sign of humility. It's a sign of being humble. It's a sign of surrender. But then also, it's that same posture that turns and is this. It's a posture, again, of giving. Open-handed. Not being a container so much as a source. You give them something to eat. And then again, look at the disciples' response, focused on what they had. They said to him, "That's going to take more than half a year's wage. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" Jesus then asked the question, "How many loaves do you have?" He asked, "Go and see." What is it that you have? What is it that you have? And the disciples did. They went and looked, and they found a boy that had 5 loaves and 2 fish. Bonus, Jesus, you said bread. We came back with bread and fish. And Jesus is saying, "I said bread because you asked, what are we going to have to go to the store and buy bread?" Like, that's the only reason there was bread, was because their disciples so simple-mindedly said, "Well, are we going to have to go to the store and buy bread?" And Jesus was like, "All right, go find the bread." Here's what I hope you see. The disciples viewed this whole process, every bit of it, through a mindset of scarcity. Through a mindset of looking at what it was that they had, and saying, "There's not enough. We are going to run out. This will never suffice. This way of life will never work. We are never going to survive." It's a mindset you and I know all too well. You and I, each and every individual in here has experienced a situation where things are seemingly going well. All of a sudden, financially, it looks like the creditors have stopped calling, right? Plus, whoo, thank you, God, I'm doing well. Got money in the bank, starting to save up. I'm putting aside into savings, and then what happens? What happens? I mean, that's just it. Is it a medical bill? Is it the car? Is it the house? Is it, like, what is it? Something's going to happen. You and I, we've all experienced a situation similar. But here's the thing. Typically, what you and I do is we allow that instance to get into our head. That isolated circumstance that did happen all of a sudden becomes the dominating mindset for the rest of your life. There's never going to be enough. It's a mindset of scarcity. You see, but Jesus operated from a completely different mindset. He viewed life, this situation, from a cycle of abundance. Simply the belief that there's more than enough. Right? Because again, if God is the provider, if God is the source of all, then why am I worried about it running dry? Fast forward to the end of our story, and Scripture says that all 15 to 20,000 ate and were satisfied. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of food. They ate and were satisfied, and we know that the disciples ended up collecting 12 baskets full of leftovers from 5 loaves and 2 fish. So track with me. Hold on. Let's work this. We're not going to do math. I'm not going to do that to you. I did. No, I won't do that to you, though. But track with me here. Watch this. The disciples' view said, this is not enough. Jesus looked at the very same thing, and said, that's more than enough. The scarcity cycle starts in the mind, not in the wallet. The scarcity cycle starts in the mind. The disciples would say it's laughable. Jesus looked on and said, oh, it's plenty. You see, somebody operating with a mindset of scarcity is consumed with the thought of, what can I afford? Scarcity asks the question, what can I afford? But abundance looks at the same situation and says, what do I have? Because again, if it's God that provides, then there's always infinitely more than anything it is that I do have. That is abundant thinking. But again, most of us have a mindset that says, Corey, when it comes to giving, when it comes to tithing, I'm gonna give when my bank account is bigger. I'm gonna give, Corey, when my salary is higher. You're lying to yourself. I know, because I've done the same lie to myself. The fact is, the more you make, the tighter the grip on what you have is. Why wait? Why wait till tomorrow what you can get busy doing today? Why not start today? See, abundance thinks, what do I have? God, everything that I have is yours. Use it in whatever way you want to. Yeah. We're going to get into that next week, 3 ways. Here's the thing. If you live a life with a mindset of scarcity, if you approach your life with a mindset of scarcity, always thinking there's not enough, I'm going to run out, then your life will be marked with fear and anxiety. And I can promise you that is not God's plan for your life. Very simply, very specifically, we can look in Scripture. Jesus told us in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. Oh, look, I don't think y'all gave me a good enough amen. Like, I know we're not that church, but look, that was good. I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. Let me help you. Everything about the nature of God, it's extravagance. It's abundance. That's his nature. That's who God is. Therefore, if you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are now adopted into the family, which therefore means your inheritance is abundance. Yeah. See, this is where we start to get really scared that the preacher's starting to get into a name it and claim it kind of sermon, and I'm going to have to walk away from the building because here it comes. No. If God is abundance and you are his child, very simply, he wants for you to have abundance, to have abundant life. Okay, Corey, then how come I don't? That's why we get all caught up in it. That's why we get caught up in that question. That's why we get caught up in the hurt. That's why we get caught up in it. Because right now, each and every one of us can at some point in time in our life, if not today, then we can at least say we know. Man, I've known the opposite of that. Whew. I want to talk about experiencing the life of abundance. And today what I want to do is real quickly, I want to go over just two ways that you and I can experience God's abundance. That's not the definitive end all, the only two ways that you can experience God's abundance, just two of the ways that deal very specifically with our topic of giving thankfully. Yeah. Are y'all ready?
Yes.
Number one. God multiplies what is given back. If you want to experience the abundance of God, God multiplies what is given back. Mark 6, in our story, the feeding of the 5,000, in verse 40, we pick up and it says, "So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, Jesus gave thanks and broke the loaves." The blessing of God over anything in our lives, the blessings of God over any area of your life is exuberantly powerful. It's powerful. When you and I thank him for his supply, we release the abundance over that area. Better yet, are you ready for this? More than just over an area, returning the tithe releases God's blessing over every part of your life. Not just that area, every part of your life. I'm going to prove it. Some of you are sitting there wide-eyed looking at me going, all right, bring it. Look, here's my promise to you from last week to this week to next week. Everything that I tell you, I'm just going to show you from Scripture. You can take it home and do what you want with it after that. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to show you from Scripture. Watch me. Watch this. Scripture tells us that God says the tithe is holy, that God says the tithe is set apart. God even goes so far as to say that the tithe belongs to him. So then, returning what is not yours, never has been yours, back to the one to whom it belongs, releases blessings over every part of your life. When you trust first in the supplier, you'll find that all of your needs will be supplied. When God is first, the rest of your life is in order. Well, last week, we looked at Malachi 3:10. I want to look back at this, and we're gonna focus on three words. Malachi 3:10, God says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me." God's saying, trust me in this. Test me even. test me and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Okay. I want to talk about one phrase in this. Malachi uses very specifically, and Malachi was one of the very, he's the very last prophet of the minor prophets. Bunch of information. Malachi was a prophet who, what he did is he just, what God told him to tell the people, he wrote down and spoke to the people. So what we read in Malachi is from Malachi, God's words through Malachi, the source, through the funnel to the people. Okay? So God's word to the people, and he uses these specific words, floodgates of heaven. Floodgates of heaven. That phrase, floodgates of heaven, in the Hebrew, it's used three different times in the Old Testament. Once here, once in 2 Kings, yeah. But then, the time that everybody hearing this message would have immediately thought of, would immediately have been likened to in their mind, would have been in Genesis, God's word to Noah about the flood. The same words in Hebrew used here, floodgates of heaven. So the literal flood of the earth is how God chooses to illustrate his blessings for you. When you put God first in the tithe, what he says is, this is what I will do. I am going to correlate this so you understand just the vastness of this. I'm going to correlate it to the flood. When scripture tells us that there was nothing on earth that was not covered. Nothing in all of earth that wasn't covered. No part of earth left untouched by all of the water that poured out. No part of the earth left untouched by all of the water that God poured out. So then, here, God is saying there's no part of your life that will not be submerged underneath the floodgate of the blessings if you trust me with the tithe. That's what the Bible says. More than you can imagine, waiting to pour open over your life. Floodgates of heaven. Look, and it's not, guys, it's not that God is up there going, pay to play, tit for tat. If you do that, then maybe I'll think about it. Ah, come on. That's not God. Not at all. What God is saying, though, very, very clearly is, when I find a heart that puts me first, That is a heart that I can entrust. That's a heart that I can entrust the abundance of heaven to. Because how many of you know that if your heart is all about you, come on, you got all clappy there for a second. If my heart, we'll put it about me, if my heart is all about me, and ooh, I pray to win the lottery, oh God, what am I going to spend it on? Bingo. Me. God knows it starts here. Not in the wallet, but up here. It's a mentality. See, across the room, what we say, we scream out to God is, God, I just want you to multiply it. I want multiplication. Bless it. Easy button, go. And God's saying, look, I'm waiting for you to give. I'm waiting for you to trust first. It starts with the step of faith. It's the tithe that releases God's blessing over every part of your life. Every part of your life. No part of your world untouched. God multiplies what is given back. And as your pastor, I'm encouraging you to trust him. God multiplies what is given back. And then secondly, God multiplies what is given away. If you want to experience the abundance of God, God multiplies what is given away. Look with me at how the miracle happens. We know that there were 12 basketfuls left over. That's the end result. But how did we get there? Jumping back to verse 41, Scripture says Jesus gave thanks, broke the loaves, gave it to the disciples to give to the people. This miracle is one of two, the resurrection, incarnation, right? And this. The only two miracles mentioned in all four Gospels. All four writers like thought this was right up there. This was amazing. But I'm like, there's what we read is what we read. And yet I know that like if Jesus had broken the bread, thank you, God, and then all of a sudden, boom. There, do you know how many semi-trucks it would take to be just like the bread, not the sandwich, the meat, the cheese, just the bread? Do you know, I don't either. I'm not guessing. 15 to 20,000 people needing enough bread. Like, none of the disciples wrote that all of a sudden manna from heaven opened up and flowed out. There was no mound of manna. They just appeared. Boom, boom, boom. All four, very simply say he gave it to the disciples for them to distribute to the people. No mention of anything else. Jesus gave thanks for it. The disciples distributed it, and then there were leftovers. So look, very logically, I hope you look at this and recognize the miracle. Jesus broke the bread, gave it to the disciples. The disciples took now less than a half, right? 12 disciples, 5 loaves of bread. I'm not going to do the math, right? We're good with me? All right. So less than a half of a loaf of bread that a little boy brought is what a disciple is holding. And what happens is he goes to each family grouping and starts handing them bread. As he gives away what is now very minute, very little, very non-existent, it's not gonna last in his hand. As he gives it away, it multiplies and he gets to the next person. He gets to the next group. He gets to the next group. Ooh. Everything about being a follower of Jesus is completely counterintuitive to the world that we live in. Jesus said, if you want to find your life, you have to lose it. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't. It doesn't make sense. And yet, in heaven, as children of God, we know it does. Because we know that we find our lives through surrender to the one who gave his life for us. Jesus said, if you want to be great, you'll have to be the servant of all. Everything about a follower of Jesus is countercultural. Everything. So then it should be no surprise when Solomon writes in Proverbs 11 that this is the economy of God. If you want to experience God's abundance, understand this passage right here. Give freely and become more wealthy. Be stingy. There's that line, there's never enough. I'm afraid that we're going to run out. Be stingy. That person loses everything. The generous will prosper. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. That's how heaven works. This is what God wants for you. It's a life of overflow. It's a life of abundance. As I close, listen here. The blessings of God were never meant to be all for you. They were never meant to be all for you. You and I are not a reservoir of things. We're conduits. We're an avenue of God's resource to a place that He wants to put it. Woo. That's critical. That's key. But again, you got to come back next week to hear the three ways that we give. But more importantly, the importance of all three. Because we do. We get caught up in one or the other, but oh, they're so vital to what God wants to do. You and I are called to give generously, to give back, to give away. Why? Why does God want us to be generous? Guys, because God knows that giving thankfully, it's vital, it's critical to breaking the sin nature that is within each and every one of us, the selfishness that we start off life with, mine. God knows this is the key to breaking that chain. Giving thankfully makes you more like Jesus. Giving thankfully shows the people that you live among the awesome work that God has done, is doing, and will continue to do in abundance over your life. Can I get an amen this morning? Come on, church. I'm going to call Pastor Brandon up this morning, guys.
Amen. I'm going to close this out with a prayer and a time of worship. That More Than Able song is so good right now, all right? God is more than able in every situation. I want to encourage you, as one of the pastors here on staff too, that don't be merely hearers of the word. That's what James encourages us to do, but also be doers. We have to put into practice the things that we learn from Sunday to Sunday, and the things that we read in our daily devotion time, and the things that the Lord impresses on our heart, the little things, putting into practice. Not only hearing, but doing, right? Ooh, God is good. He's looking for people. We're a people, individuals, and a group of people that He can partner with. He always has been looking for partners to be conduits of His glory and His kingdom and His goodness and His love. Amen. Let's stand as we pray and sing out this song. Heavenly Father, thank You. We love You. Help us to put into action the things that You impress upon our hearts. Let us be obedient children. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Jesus, that You are the example to us on generosity, that You did not come to be served, but You served. And You gave Your life sacrificially, loving us and being an example for us. Father, help us. Help us to take steps of faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing a little bit before you go. If you got to go as the song goes, that's fine. But let this song saturate your heart this morning.
Anything is possible. Who am I to deny? Sing.
They're going to keep singing. Right. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen, amen. If y'all would keep going a little bit longer, y'all are dismissed, but if you need prayer for anything, Pastor G and myself will be right here. If you want to come up for prayer or just to say hello and meet a pastor, that sort of thing, you can come up and do that. We'll keep going a little bit longer. Also, Pastor Corey's out.